Okay, so we're kind of halfway through day two after a really great day one and a very crowded, exciting first half of day two. I can speak for everyone, are very exhausted from day one, and we are a quieter, gentler, milder
beast
right now.
Sarah,
how are you holding up?
I will say that there's not enough coffee in the world for me to feel human again. And that tonight, I will not become Reba. Don't hold me to that. Yeah. That might not be a real thing. Sorry, Shugs.
Dutters, how are you doing?
I'm actually a lot better now. I think I've fully recovered after drinking all of the coffee, which is why there is no more coffee in the world.
Yeah, the coffee shortage of 2015 is a direct result of Rich drinking all of it this morning / afternoon.
Yeah, and taking all of the ibuprofen ever.
That's good. Yeah, that's fine. Only Tylenol and Excedrin from now on.
So let's catch everybody up on what happened when we weren't recording. Sarah, what was some of your favorite things you were involved with?
Yesterday.
Yes.
Okay.
Or this morning.
So we recorded a couple.
All right, sorry, we just rewound the tape.
Yeah. You're a power drill.
That right there is my favorite part of this whole trip now.
Okay, so I was able to meet Matt Chapman, who is 50% of HomestarRunner.net.
It's .com.
Yeah, so Rich and I had like, we had a very strange meeting with him. We fangirled out so hard that I don't know that I asked him, I don't know that I said anything to him. I just was trying not to cry. I'm excited about it again, actually. Like, I'm getting nervous.
Well, you can go back and listen to the interview and see if he actually said anything.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. I was really excited. He had his Homestar puppet. Runner puppet. He did the voice for us, which you can hear.
Or have already heard, depending on how edited it. It's fine.
Quite right.
Yep.
So
they're still jonesing. That's how excited they are.
Excellent. You want to hear Homestar Runner again. I picked up some Teen Girl Squad stickers for myself and for one of my high school best friends, Allison. So
shout out to Allison.
Yeah, shout out Allison. Hope married life is awesome, and I'll be sending you a sticker of cheerleader what's your face so and so and the ugly one.
Awesome.
We did some interviews, we met some cool artists, we hung out with some cool artists, we went to a drink and draw, which is my first drink and draw. I drew a thing.
You
Whoa.
Did draw a thing. So the way they had this, it was at a hotel bar. A lot of people went. They have a bunch of free Heroes Con coasters and little illustration boards. You grab them. You grab whatever writing instrument you can get your paws on, and you get to town drawing. They then collect the drawings, line them up on a table, and sell them to the highest
offer.
Really.
Yeah.
And the proceeds went to the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is it it's a Parkinson's Foundation?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Cool.
I would hope so, unless he's got something else going on, too.
Well, I mean,
maybe it's to reboot Back to the Future.
No.
I doubt it.
Or
no. Frighteners 2?
No.
Oh.
What if it were for Family Ties? Is that the name of that show? What was the name of the show where he was the precocious Republican kid?
I think it was Family Ties.
Family Ties?
Or Family Values? No.
No, Family Values is a corn tour.
Wow!
Gosh, wow. Guys, Limp Bizkit was on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I would like to compliment you on your attire, Adam. You are pulling off, like, 90s guy excellently. So you are wearing...
Oh,
blue jeans.
Don't spoil it for him. If you want to see how kid vidalicious I am, please check out our Instagram.
Kid vid.
Or the slideshow that we will have done up for the damnartmajors.com website.
Yeah, that'll be excellent. You do look like kid vid. I am enjoying your hat quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people think that the recorder is actually a Walkman. We've seen a lot of Star-Lord cosplayers.
This is true.
I
have seen... some crazy Mad Max cosplay.
Yes, I was going to take a picture with them. We were awesome.
Hopefully we get a chance to. There was an Immortan Joe that was very realistic to the movie, and then a female version, and that was a whole new level of intense. That was pretty cool. Dutters, what has been your favorite part that Sarah has not mentioned?
She kind of took my favorite part.
Sorry.
Meeting Matt Chapman was awesome.
It was really awesome.
Actually, this morning was nice because I just went in and took an hour and just kind of thumbed around and looked at things, kind of got a lay of the land. And the best part is no one tried to talk to me, which was awesome.
I'm trying to talk to you now.
It was incredibly packed. This morning when I got there, like, the line was insane.
It really was. Luckily, we had our press passes and just blew right by all 12,000 people trying to get through two turnstiles.
Yeah. Goodness gracious, there are a lot of people.
I think I'm probably in about 50 pictures because I didn't realize I was walking through, in, or around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's like a hashtag Comic-Con. NC Heroes Con thing, and like I'm just gonna like look through the pictures and see if I can find myself.
So if you're interested in seeing our pictures and other people's pictures, of course you can check out our Instagram, you can check out our Twitter, you can check out our Facebook, you can check out our slideshow, or you can also look at other people's pictures that may have us conveniently hidden, like Where's Waldo in the background.
Yeah.
By checking out hashtag HeroesCon or hashtag HeroesCon2015.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You guys wanna know my favorite part?
No. The fact that you know where your car is?
That's a good part.
That's a good part.
Car Watch 2015, it's still there.
Success. Yep.
No.
What's your favorite part?
This is really lame, but you thought it was adorable as well. We found a father who was dressed up like Alan Grant from Jurassic Park. He was with his maybe under 1 year old baby.
Yeah. Just toddling around.
Yeah.
They couldn't walk, toddling.
A little boy, and he is dressed as a Triceratops.
Nice.
So
he has a run-in with a mother who is dressed up like a turtle. Not a ninja turtle, just a turtle.
She had a sea turtle.
She has a daughter of similar age who is also dressed up like a turtle. So
she had a little hand-knit diaper cover, and then she had a little hand-knit shell that was tied to her with a piece of ribbon.
And so the Triceratops boy and the turtle girl are interacting with parent supervision, and the girl pokes the boy in the nose, and the little boy doesn't know how to react, so he just starts to kind of cry. And so the dad picks him up, and he's, like, telling him it's okay. The mom picks up the little girl. She is laughing because she just made this little boy cry. And then the second the dad, like, shows the boy the girl again, he reaches for her. And I turn to Sarah and I go, does that not sum up every relationship ever?
Yeah, that's perfect. She is already winning at 9, 10. I don't know what time babies start walking, but... You know, less than 1 year old. She's already winning at relationships. She knows how to win the game.
That's right.
You guys didn't even ask me to be on the podcast. I bullied you into letting me be on it.
And my favorite moment had nothing to do with comics. How about that?
That is ironic. Ironic? No. It's not ironic. It's not.
Unexpected?
Oh.
All right, enough of our idle chit-chatter. Check back in with us. We are going to rest up and get back down there to tear it up some more. Maybe not really tear it up. It's a convention. There's people who have to clean up after we return.
Okay, go. Okay, bye.
The next cut-in will be better.
Great.
All right, we're with Trey here at Heroes Con. He is working the donation booth for the art auction. How are you doing, Trey?
Doing great.
So... tell us a little bit about the art auction. What does one have to do to submit their art or buy art or be a part of it?
How does it work?
Sure. So we've been doing the art auction for years now. The funds that we raise through the art auction are used to help bring in the artists that we've got at the show to help defray the cost of putting on the convention, as well as the art auction itself with the supplies that are needed for creating the pieces. We've got an art stage set up so that artists can create pieces here during the show. Fans can watch the creative process and take a blank canvas, as it were, and see someone start to make a little squiggle in one section, and then, you know, an hour or more later, you've got this gorgeous piece that's Poison Ivy or Batman or Spider-Gwen or Furiosa from Mad Max, whatever it might be that, you know, is the piece that's being worked on right there. But we let anyone contribute to it. So it can be, you know, a professional artist, or it could be a fan who's just an aspiring artist on their own. Occasionally we've got some people who submit pieces. Then we wonder, why in the world did they think they were good enough to submit a piece? But they do it anyway, and we have some fun with those as well.
For an artist, what is some of the benefits as to submit the art?
Sure. We've got some artists who have sort of started their careers by being part of really the HeroesCon family. We've got a quick draw competition that happens with various age groups, and people can enter that competition. And you know, some of those have, over the years, gotten better and better and moved on up to be successful artists. Mike Waringo was someone who won a quick draw competition years and years ago, and then he became, you know, the artist that we all knew and love until, unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago.
Right.
But we've had some artists like Comfort Love and Adam Withers who started submitting pieces to the art auction, or Domo, Dominique, and I'm drawing a blank on his last name, but he submitted some pieces for the art auction and got some attention and got some recognition and continues to submit pieces. And you can just see year after year the quality and the attention that those artists are getting through the growth of their work through that. So it's a way for people to gain some recognition and some attention, and also maybe some people who've bought a table or a booth in Artist Alley or a small press area, and they want to draw some more attention other than just where they're sitting and someone walking by. They submit a nice, really cool piece. It's up here on display. They know people are coming up to take a look at this. So when people are coming by to look at this Mouse Guard piece from David Peterson, or the Comfort and Adam piece of the Batman family, or, you know, whatever it might be, Scotty Young Spider-Gwen, you know, right beside that might be a piece from someone in Artist Alley who's done either a similar character or something else, and was like, oh, wow, that one's really cool, too. Who is that? And we can tell them who it was, and they can say, oh, well, they're in, you know, this location. They can go take a look at that person, and hopefully that'll be a sale for that artist.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like a great way to get your stuff out there for some exposure, and yeah, maybe the right eyes will see it.
Do you think that people that see an artist work on a piece and see their piece, do you think that people return looking for the same? I mean, I don't know how much turnover you have with booths. Do you have a lot of the same artists coming year after year, or every few years?
We do have that. You know, some are able to come year after year, and,
right,
and they get a growth of an audience, mm-hmm, and a sales clientele.
Right.
Some they don't necessarily come every year, but
right,
you know, it's always interesting, especially if we keep in touch with those artists either through social media or, you know, just emails, whatever, that someone say, hey, sorry you weren't able to be at HeroesCon. I had people asking about you and looking forward to
that's
you.
Great.
And so, you know, if it's someone that I know of and I follow through Facebook or whatever, that I might be able to say, no, they weren't able to make it this year, but if you go to this address or whatever and look them up, you may be able to find them there and make that connection.
That's awesome.
Great. So I'm actually going to submit one of my pieces.
You're going to submit a piece. That's awesome.
Maybe we'll find out how well it does later on.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Trey. We really appreciate you doing our interview.
Not a problem. Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so we're here with Christine Skelly. How are you today?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Doing well. It's not Kelly, it's Skelly.
It is Skelly, like Scully.
Like Scully.
You'll always remember it, though.
Always remember it. So how's HeroesCon treating you?
Heroes has been good. People are really nice, and they're totally interested in the comics. It's good.
What kind of stuff did you bring with you today? What are your wares?
Welcome to my wares.
Oh, my
insert trench coat opening. A lot of my stuff is mythology based, and today I've especially got Mount Oliphant, which is about the Greek gods reincarnated in a psych ward.
Also,
why would they be in a psych ward?
Because they're crazy.
Because they believe they're Greek gods?
Because Zeus is congregating them all together, and they've got some issues. They definitely have some problems.
Who doesn't?
Especially the Greek gods. Yeah.
So who would you recommend this story for?
I would say teens all the way up to adults. It's still kid appropriate, but it definitely has some darker psychological themes. So starting at the teens and up is always good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Greek god or goddess?
I do. I have a lot of, like, other,
mythos people.
Other mythos people are actually way more interesting because they're less focused on. Like, Hindu and Aztec are really fascinating because they're really bloodthirsty and they have way more power.
Like,
cool. Yeah. So I'm focusing on that right now.
What kind of, stuff do you have in the works?
Aztec and Hindu.
Aztec and Hindu. Yeah. awesome.
I would say post-apocalyptic, but who isn't doing post-apocalyptic these days?
We're all just waiting for it to happen.
Everyone is ready.
Yeah, it's
they're
about
ready
time.
For the apocalypse.
Society, when will you just end already?
So, on
the theme of post-apocalyptic endings, what would your ideal weapon be?
Ideally ranged, because I'm not that strong. I'm tiny. And I can run away, and that's about it. So probably a bow, maybe a crossbow. Go a little Joffrey Baratheon on them. That'd be pretty great.
Crossbow. All right.
And if people want to get in contact with you, or if they want to see your stuff, how can they get in contact with you?
I am Skelly Scribbles on everything. Instagram, Tumblr.
Is that your DJ nightclub name, too?
Yes. I would... That would be great. Skellyscribbles.tumblr and then .com is my website and everything.
And finally, what are you enjoying most about the convention?
Connecting with people over the different art topics, especially like psych stuff and then mythology stuff. Stuff that isn't really in comics like at the forefront, but the themes that come out are really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you talking to us.
Yay, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right, we're here with John Capello. How you doing, man?
I'm doing swell.
Fantastic. That's a great way to do.
How's your arm feel?
Oh, it feels great.
We noticed
for the magic of radio, John is holding up a sign that says, "Buy my crap, it's good crap," with 5 exclamation points.
That's a little heavy on the exclamation points. Can you back up each and every one?
Yes. The first exclamation point stands for pride. Second, responsibility. Third, prayer. Fourth, faith. And then fifth represents for buying my crap.
That's awesome.
You heard it here, folks.
Did you make that sign in the car on the way here, or did you make it while you were here?
I made this actually 3 weeks ago at AwesomeCon. I made the sign. I used to have an older sign that I had last year that says, "I have shit to sell, it's good shit." But I decided to tone it down a little bit and make a new one.
A little more family friendly.
Yes.
And at AwesomeCon, you debuted your new comic, right?
Yes.
Which is called?
It's called The Wonderful Wheels. Should I tell them about it?
Yeah, you should tell us about it.
No, please don't tell us anything about your comic.
I do an independent series. It's called The Wonderful Wheels. It's about a paraplegic girl named Remy Reem. She goes in these comic book worlds. She gets these books that give her powers over art and storytelling. So, for instance, she uses one in order to bring artwork in an art museum to life to be able to fight the bad guy. And then there's also deals with parallel universe things. So there's 3 versions of the character, and you meet all 3 of them, and it deals with things like identity and whatnot through that. It's got all kinds of crazy characters. Very surreal, very funny.
Who would you recommend this book for?
I mean... The book is full. I mean, it follows my own sort of like writing style, but in terms of genre specifics, it doesn't really follow anything because it deals with sort of like detective stories, surreal stories, just straight. If you're really like an art, really into art and storytelling, it's definitely something for you because I like to work in various tropes and, you know, subvert them in many ways as well.
So we've read several comics recently. By artists that are trying to, I don't know, maybe inspire people with their art, maybe reach out to people that have a physical or other disability. Do you think that that's something that you're doing with your wheelchair-bound, partially wheelchair-bound character, or is that what you're shooting for?
People with disabilities?
Or people that are going through things, whether they're physical or psychological or whatever.
I'm all about representation. And I set out to make a comic book that was unique for myself and for other people because for me as a writer, it's much more enjoyable to write for a character who's, you know, has traits, both personality and physical traits, that are very different from me.
That was the Ecto-1 going off. We will have an interview with the Ecto-1 later on in the show.
Excellent.
That's weird how it went off. I guess they caught it, right? They got the
good,
Slimer.
Good.
We're going to interview a car later?
We're going to interview a car. It's going to be great.
Also, Kit will be here, and we will interview Kit.
Yes!
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Very good.
So I guess our final question is, what is your favorite sandwich of all time?
Yes, your favorite sandwich.
That's the final question?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
I feel like there's so many. You could have asked me what my favorite dinosaur was.
Okay, we have another question. Did you already ask him how we can get in touch with him?
No, I thought we'd do that last.
That's okay, this is the second to last question.
The penultimate question is...
My favorite sandwich?
Is it dinosaur themed?
No, not really. I mean, I'm vegetarian, to be honest, so, like, I have very few choices when it comes to actual sandwiches.
Fancy grilled cheeses.
Like, one that you make yourself. That is your... You don't necessarily have to be able to buy this. Like, your favorite sandwich.
I'm too lazy to make my own sandwiches.
Okay, then...
Like, spaghetti's an effort for me. Like
spaghetti sandwich?
Yeah. Okay. We'll go with that. That's my favorite sandwich.
Great.
A spaghetti... What kind of bread?
Oh, crap. I like,
the questions are only going to get harder.
Rye.
So a rye
you cannot
bread.
Have a rye spaghetti sandwich.
He can have whatever he wants. It's his sandwich.
Now, what kind of
you know what? I don't even bake the rye into bread. I just have the rye as they pull it out of the field.
Interesting. Now, are we a red sauce, a white sauce, a white wine sauce? Like, what sort of sauce on the spaghetti?
Only mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Straight mayonnaise thrown
spaghetti.
In.
Spaghetti. So this basically is an all-the-carb sandwich.
When I was younger, my grandmother actually was like, do you want... I'm like 5, and she's like, we'll make you a mayonnaise sandwich. I'm like, okay. So she just made a mayonnaise sandwich only with mayonnaise. Now in retrospect, I'm just like, that should have killed me
now,
as a child.
Are you of the Boo Boo Clan?
The Boo Boo Clan?
The Honey Boo Boo Clan. It sounds like, based off your dietary regulation, that you are one of the Honey Boo Boo folks.
Grandma was just this old Irish-Italian woman in Boston, Massachusetts. Have you ever been to Boston? Boston is basically New York, but for rednecks.
Oh, you know? So full of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
So if people would like to get in contact with you or see your art, how can they do that?
Or ask about the recipe for that amazing spaghetti mayonnaise sandwich on rye.
Well, you can contact me through my website at johncapelloart.com. That's got 2 P's and 2 L's in it, and John with an H. But then you can also find me on all my social media accounts, which are all based on variations of my name, but none of them are the same. So
well, that's easy to remember.
Like, my Facebook is John Capello Art, right? Easy enough. But my Instagram is, yes, the John Capello. And my Twitter is Capello John. And then my Tumblr is, yes, dash, the John Capello.
So we'll put a blurb on our website with all of that information.
Yes, you're going to need to do that because it's going to get very complicated.
Great. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
We're here with Jeremy Grady. How are you doing today?
Hi, nice to meet you guys.
How's HeroesCon treating you?
It's actually pretty fantastic. It's chaotic, but fun at the same time.
Nice. Yeah. So what brings you out to the con today?
Well, this is our first year. We did a book that came out about a month ago, and we wanted to showcase it to the fans, and Heroes is one of the best cons you can go to. A lot of artists, a lot of creators, so we wanted to come here.
Awesome. So what's your book about?
It's a sci-fi survival horror set in the present, based on a boy and his uncle who crash land a plane on the side of a giant city that no one has ever seen before. It just sort of pops up out of nowhere. They go inside. The place appears to be abandoned, but when they get there, they soon find it's not. It's full of monsters and creepy things and a lot of chasing, a lot of screaming, a lot of fun, a lot of action. So that's basically the concept.
So, who is your book Greyfell for?
Greyfell's for anybody that likes new stuff. You know, you want something that you've never seen before. You like action adventure. You like fast-paced story. You want to feel like a kid again. Like when you read those books when you were a child, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Who are these people?
Right.
That's kind of what you want.
Sure.
To feel, and that's kind of what we're doing with this book. It's supposed to be for anybody who likes science fiction, horror, a little bit of superhero feel to it.
Where can people find it?
You can find it on Facebook at squintcomics.com.
Squint
comics.
Squint. S-Q-U-I-N-T, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, and you got an awesome little magnet as
yeah.
a promo.
We're giving away magnets at the con, so just to get us out there a little bit. Yeah. Tom Martin did the art for the magnets. Jeffrey Edwards did the artwork for the first book. He's fantastic. And Jonas Scharf is doing the artwork for the second book. So,
oh, that's great.
We're pretty lucky, yeah. We have a great group of artists, and we also did some... We had some great letterers and inkers. Alonzo Nunez did the inks. Josh Oakes, Barry Sasanto, Joe Silver, Greg Sorkin.
Oh, yeah?
They great all creative team.
Yeah.
Yeah. The output
it was,
is
it was
fantastic.
A really big book, so... Some of the guys were only able to do a little bit, so, you know, doing a big book like that, you take what you can, and they were all quality, so the pages look clean, very nice.
It definitely looks action-packed, so yeah. If you're interested, check out Squint Comics and Greyfell. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. There you go.
Okay, thanks. I'm Sarah.
We continue our trip around the Artist Alley.
Yes.
We have stopped at another table.
We have.
And joined with us at said table is BTD. How are you doing today?
Good.
So what brings you to HeroesCon?
I'm trying to sell my graphic novel, Novelty Song. I can tell you what it's about.
Go ahead and do so.
Okay. It is about a struggling rock band in New Jersey that discovers a way that they can record a cover of any... famous song, and it erases the original from existence, so the entire world thinks that they wrote it. So I kind of just go crazy with the idea. It's kind of like Groundhog's Day. I just take the concept and run with it in a bunch of different directions, play around with it. A lot of references to like rock mythology, music, lore.
Do you have a personal appreciation and love for music, thus aided to the art, or how did you go about deciding, I want to do a comic about music?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I was a singer in a band in my 20s, so some of the observations in here actually come from that. I kind of lived it a little bit, so, like, you know, some of the grievances, like... going to shows and sitting through a bunch of other bands before your band goes on, that kind of thing. I get into that. And I'm just kind of obsessed with music in general, also beyond that.
Great. Who is this book for? Who would you recommend it for?
Well, it's definitely for adults. There's some profanity in there.
We love profanity.
Okay, great.
It's fantastic.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, I'm a fan of it too.
Sentence spice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I don't do it just for the sake of doing it, but you know, just I try and capture the way people talk, and
sure.
You know, it's funny to me.
Right.
Just the way people talk, not necessarily profanity, but it's and there's some references to bands you'd probably have to be a little older to get, like you know, at least like. In your late 20s or 30s.
Right.
So it's for adults. It's not really for kids. Although it's colorful, so I have...
It could be a little misleading.
I have left copies laying around the house, and younger cousins have been seen flipping through it and learn horrible things. And, yeah, but... there's nothing pornographic in it.
Right. If somebody wanted to know more about Novelty Song, where can they find you?
I have a website, btd.com. It's BEETEEDEE.com.
That is 6 E's.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes.
A lot of E's.
All the E's, yes.
He's claiming them all.
Yes, and there's previews you can look at there. It's on Comixology, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Like digital versions.
So if there were a song that you / your old band / your future band could cover and everyone would think it was your song, what song would it be?
You know, it's funny because we did that all the time because we would cover songs that nobody knew anyway, you know, so
right.
It's not hard to do that. I probably, you know, if I were smarter, I would choose something that's actually profitable, but, you know, I can't even think of one off the top of my head. I'd have to look at the Billboard. I don't even know what's popular now, you know.
I believe the correct answer is Bless the Rains Down in Africa by
yes!
Toto.
by Toto. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's
I believe that's the correct answer.
Perennial favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for
taking a moment and speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
I'm Morgan. Morgan O'Shea.
Morgan O'Shea?
Yes.
Awesome.
I had a banner, but it died, so...
We are here with the bannerless Morgan O'Shea. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
How is Heroes Con treating you? This is the question I'm asking everyone.
Oh, it's been quite magical, actually.
Magical. That's a good adjective. I enjoy it.
And I think that magical maybe goes along with your art. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. I'm very much into the sinister psychedelic side of the art world. A lot of kind of pop art references in my, like, sort of pop art, in my very macabre style here. I do a lot of occult stuff, praying to horror, body horror, all that weirdness, good stuff. Yeah.
Obviously you're an illustrator, are you an illustrator?
Yes, mostly, yeah.
Do you do comics as well as art, or do you mostly, what do you do with your art?
I mostly do illustration, I do some book stuff and concept art, but I'm beginning to experiment more with sequential stuff. So I have a lot of really big projects coming up in the fall that I'm very excited about. So, but nothing that I can show right now. So,
do you want to plug your future projects? Or not yet? Can't talk about it right now. Excellent. That's okay.
That's usually a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing if you can't talk about it yet. We wish you lots of success for that.
Oh, thank you.
What has been your favorite part of Heroes Con so far?
Favorite Heroes Con. Just seeing all the other artists again, just seeing everybody, and like the passion in this room is just so nice. Everyone's like, oh, yes, hell yeah. Cool monsters, cool horror.
Do you prefer working in a digital or traditional medium?
It's a difficult question to answer because a lot of my stuff is digital just because it's way easier to kind of get churned out, but I really miss working in fine arts, which if I can take this style, I have a couple of series coming up that are all going to be like watercolor stuff, but just like the same kind of like weird gestural dancing macabre stuff, but in both Gold Leaf, some other shimmery things, lots of glitter, watercolor, just some awesome stuff. So, yes is my, do I prefer either of those?
Got it. You wish you had more time for the traditional, but
Oh my god, if I could sacrifice sleep, yes. Oh my god.
Well, who needs sleep, right?
Yeah.
Early
grave.
You got a little booklet here.
Oh yeah, this is my
family album.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things that I sell. It's a little art book, essentially, if you guys want to check it out too. It's little portraits of all your favorite childhood nightmares and urban legends.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
From that dream that I had.
You know, just all those scarring, traumatizing situations. Yeah, they're wonderful. But I'm really into cryptozoology, so it's little bios about what they like, who they are, what kind of character they are, and also how they're related to each other in the family.
Who'd win in a fight, Nessie or Bigfoot? Home field advantage goes to neither. They are on the moon.
Okay, I guess they would just shrivel up and die. But
yes.
I think Bigfoot would put up more of a fight during that seizure.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree.
Really?
Nessie can navigate low gravity atmospheres.
That's true, but they're both dead already.
Yeah, well, air is kind of a problem there.
So okay. Which one gets that punch in, really?
Fair.
Final question. If somebody was interested in finding you via the interwebs, how could they do so?
Well, I have a website, morganoshea.com, and it's Shea, S-H-A-Y, not Shea Butter.
Good to know.
My Instagram is the thing that I update the most because I'm like, oh, Instagram.
Right.
Which is also Miss Morgan Shea. And my Twitter, which is Miss Morgan Shea. So if you want to find me, that's how.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks.
So we are here with Anderson Carman.
Yeah.
Carman.
Yep.
Carman.
The one and only.
Excellent.
Introduce yourself. What are you here at Heroes Con to do?
Well, I'm a student currently at SCAD Atlanta, and I'm studying sequential art there. I have about a year left, so I came last year. It was my first time at Heroes Con, and this year I learned a little bit of what to bring, and so I've got all sorts of drawings, sketches, bookmarks, all sorts of fun stuff.
So you are indeed a damn art major.
Yes, art major for sure.
Excellent.
And since you're doing sequential art, are you hoping to move into the comic world, the indie comic world, or what are you hoping to do with that?
Yeah, so right now, actually, I'm flatting, which is a stage in the coloring process for Oni Press. So I just do contractual work for them, and then I've got a few creator-owned comics I'm working on building up. But long-term, my brother's a writer, and I know a couple other writers, and so long-term would be to work on like my own sort of creator-owned thing with a fellow collaborator.
And what kind of stuff are you working on right now? What kind of stuff do you have?
I've got a fun little project, the Attack of the Killer Snails. I thought, so if zombies are slow, what if snails were zombies? So it's just this idea that snails stop dying, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger until they want to eat humans. So yeah, it's fun. And then the hero in the story is a caricature of my grandfather, Paul, and we always called him Paul the Claw. So
Paul the Claw, that's excellent.
Yeah.
What have you learned in the past year between, you mentioned that you kind of had a better idea of what sort of stuff to bring for other people that are coming to the con for their first or second time. What do you recommend?
Yeah, definitely draw. Like, I mean, there's a lot that you can do in the week leading up to the con, but if you can be drawing the whole year round, obviously you'll grow and you'll, you know, the stuff that I did last year I look at and is terrible compared to what I've done in the last 6 months, but you got to get to the next 6 months. You know, you got to keep pushing yourself forward and just draw all the time.
Awesome. Is there a piece of advice that you've received earlier in your artistic career, like something that you've received earlier in life that has really stuck with you to give you inspiration? Right. Quite right.
Well, I do love, I think I first heard it from John Lasseter, the whole concept of do what you love and you never work a day in your life, which is just a great mantra. But in terms of comics, a great thing is make sure that you do sequential pages. Like, drawing characters and drawing pinups is good to study anatomy, but do your storytelling. Do environments. Everybody hates environments for some reason, but they're a whole other character, and they're a great thing. So nail your environments. It's the little things that really sell your work.
Where could people find your work?
I'm on Tumblr, Instagram, everything, I think. Anderson Carman, Carman, because I'm the only one. That's the. And then just the hashtag that I use with everything is This Is Kind of Sketchy, because that's my blog. Just like playing around with the. Thought that was a funny pun. It's kind of sketchy. So.
I love puns. Nice. Well, I love puns.
Puns are excellent.
All right, man. Well,
thank you very much. We really appreciate
also,
you being with us. We will put your information up so hopefully people can find your stuff.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Thanks. Hey guys, this is Adam, recording by myself. That's really weird. Huh. This usually goes better with other people to communicate with. Anyway, I just wanted to take some time to thank Heroes Aren't Hard to Find for throwing Heroes Con and inviting us to come back for a second year to report on the con. Also, I wanted to do a little shout-out once again to Sequoia, who unfortunately was not able to join us, but, you know, he was there in spirit. And to the whole DAM Radio Network for tagging along and making this all possible with me. And, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you very much for tuning in. And hopefully next year we can go again and blow it up for you guys. Thanks. Be sure to check out the first part of our Heroes Con trip by checking out Damn Art Majors. Always, you can write to us, damnartmajors@gmail.com. Follow us on the Twitter and all that nonsense. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Without further ado, have a good one.